I know he's at first. You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of U of Treadmy Radio. Today is Monday, the 28th of March, 2011. Our guest tonight is supposed to be Joshua Wohlers from the Missouri Militia, 1st Company, 7th Brigade. But when I called him, our phones died, or something happened. The call was cut short about 10 seconds after I made the call. It just died, and I haven't been able to get him back. It just dumps me straight to voicemail. So hopefully it was just his phone dying, and I understand that problem. I hated Blog Talk. My phone sucked. And I have old cordless phones whose battery life sucks on them. So hopefully it was just that. And I left him the 800 call-in number. So maybe if he's got another line that he can get to or something, we can get him back on. But if not, we will continue on. There are always things to talk about. There are always things to discuss. So this might not end up being a Militia Monday show. This might just be an open damn mic show, which it very well could be. And hey, the last open mic wasn't too bad at all. So if we end up going into open mic, call-ins, this is going to be about you guys. What's on your minds? 877-374-3980. Again, you know, this is an active participation show. This is not like other radio shows where I just want people to listen to me and believe everything I say. This is a group thing. You know, this whole freedom and militia thing, it's a group thing. You know, everybody's got their ideas out there. Some ideas are better than others. Some ideas are just flat out bad and wrong. But we all have our ideas. And if we don't start sharing and talking about our ideas openly and throwing our two cents in, well, it's just going to go back to the way it was now. Nobody says anything, and very few people determine everything. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Remember, the Republic could only survive as long as the people participated in the government and continued to be educated. We had to be educated and we had to participate. So, you can start practicing here. So other than that, you know, I hope everything's okay with you out there, Joshua. I was really looking forward to talking to you tonight. I hope it is just, you know, like I said, hope it is just the phone going down and there's nothing else a problem out there. So, with that being said, Dave, how are you? What's going on?
Well, I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. I'm just trying to stay busy. Got tons of work to do and not enough time to do it in. Typical state of affairs. But you're absolutely right about what you said. You know, this is, you know, a full participation sport. You know, we're engaging in here, and the way we get to the good ideas is by having these conversations. And you know, if people aren't engaged in, you know, having these conversations, then, you know.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. Hey, you know, I'm right there with you on that. Yeah, I've been on the air, for a while. Just got done with amateur radio net. Our net control was out of pocket, so I ended up having to run the show this evening. That was kind of fun, but not a whole lot of people showed up, and we had some sad news. One of our ham club members passed away this last Wednesday. It was a very, very sad thing. So it was kind of a somber moment this evening, but we're just moving on with things there. We had a bunch of severe weather yesterday. It was hailing like a son of a bitch here. It was quite a downpour. The ground was completely covered in hail, and that was actually happening right before the show yesterday, and was messing around with the internet, and it cleared out just in time for the show. And it's actually been, you know, really nice today. So, you know, I can brag about it being in the 60s, and Randy will hate me because it's still snowing up there.
Man, you know, when they talk about, you know, that old saying, man, when hell freezes over, I'm here. It has. you think yeah. I jest. You think
oh,
I jest.
No,
I'm out here looking at windows, man, and the trees are white. The pine trees are white. Yeah, you're still in, you know, if you're out in the woods doing FTXs, man, you're in, you know, 40 below snow boots, man. And, you know, and you're in winter, you're in winter cam out here right now, man. It's still snowing 5 days straight. But you know what? Hey, listen, I wanted to kind of cover a couple of things that happened and that have been going on. Some things about the show and some things that are coming up. You know, we've got a new host on Saturdays now, so now we're coming at you on Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays. The new host is Fox. He will be running a show called The Armory with Fox. That'll be on Saturdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, so an hour before this one is. Remember, there's not just one time zone around. You got Mountain, Eastern, or you got Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific, so Fox's show is going to be on 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, so an hour before this one normally is. And I guess he's going to run a couple of hours or however long it goes. And we're actually getting kind of bogged up in our lineup here as we speak. In fact, it's getting harder and harder for me to get certain series back on in time. So we might be jumping to an additional day on Uotretomy as well, my show. It's just getting harder and harder. I mean, shows are getting booked further and further out now. So we might have another good day coming up. Again, the success of this show and these ideas that we present, an actual plan, it's not going to happen with just, I don't know, 200, 300, 400 of us that listen and download on the show. You know, we do need to get these ideas out there, and there's only two ways, there's only one way the ideas are going to get out there, and that's with you guys, your guys' help, the listeners out there. You know, and hey, don't support an idea if you don't like it. But if you like, if you think the things that we're saying are valid and they are historically accurate, and that the ideas we present truly will at least, you know, reduce the hardships in the areas in which we start engaging in them, whether it's from an economical collapse, a natural disaster, doesn't matter. The things we represent here work for any and all areas of life, not just restoring the Constitution and resisting tyranny. So, you guys got to make it happen out there. Take it back out on the streets. We have pamphlets now. We've got a couple of pamphlets made up. One of them is kind of a teaser pamphlet to get people interested. No, you know, without a, you know, not for a scheduled meeting to get people interested in the committees. We've got another one specifically for a set date for a, you know, we're forming a committee of safety, come join your local town. The time that Gary used the one that announces a meeting of the committees of safety, they had over 300 signups, I believe he said. So the people are out there. You just have to make it happen. Nothing is going to happen in this world unless we make it happen.
Yep, it starts on the local level. Start talking to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the people around you. These are the people that you're going to be needing to work with, and it's got to start from the bottom up. You know, this problem we've been having pretty much globally is never going to be fixed top down. The people that are offering the top down solutions are having some real faulty thinking there, and it's a fool's errand to try to fix it from the top down. You know, don't worry about trying to fix Washington right now. Fix your local town, then work on your county, then work on your state.
Well, you know, speaking of top down, you know, recently, and I misspelled the guy's name wrong, when I sent out an email, or I responded to an email on the Committee of Safety mailing list, somebody had brought up the fact that Reddy had been arrested in North Connecticut, you know, the founders of the Committees of Safety. or the founder of the Committees of Safety. That's what I said the first time. Never mind. I thought I said something wrong. Or I thought I misspoke it. But anyways, Thomas, or I forgot his damn first name. But anyways, Reddy was arrested up in North Carolina. He was the founder of a national organization called the Committees of Safety. But this was a political group. The Committees of Safety are non-political. They are, in all reality, the Committees of Safety are a parallel government that the people begin to establish when their government ceases to uphold the law of the land and to respect their rights and their individual freedoms. When government becomes tyranny, just like our founding fathers did, and the colonists, all of them, I don't care whether you got the label of founding father or not, if you were engaged in creating that free country, you truly are a founding father. Not just those guys that were up at the Continental Congress. That's my opinion on that. So, again, I guess that statement was correct. The founding fathers, all of them, every single man, woman, child, whatever it was that fought in that area, that helped, that engaged in protecting their right to be free and demanding freedom against the largest military machine in the world at the time. The sun never set on the British Empire. That was the saying. The sun never sets on the British Empire. But they stood. They fought. And they formed a parallel government system. And that parallel government system was the government from the time they took their towns up through the time of the establishment of the committee of the Articles of Confederation. They were the government. Whether it was the Continental Congress working as the national head of that government, or it was the local Committee of Safety in Muskogee, Kansas. Well, not Muskogee, Kansas, but there was no Muskogee, Kansas at the time, but you didn't get my point. Doesn't matter how small the town was, they had their Committees of Safety usually. If they didn't, then there was a couple of small towns that had a Committee of Safety combined. You know, a regional committee, if you will. But they were the actual government, so... You know, now, Reddy was arrested... And, I feel bad about that. I don't know the exact charges because they didn't. I watched a video by Gary Franchi. And I want to comment on that as well. Not to speak ill of the man or what he did or anything he's doing, but I do want to comment on that presentation of it. But Reddy was arrested. Apparently SWAT teams went in and arrested him under the Patriot Act. The interview that he did, I watched it. I didn't catch what any of the actual specific charges were or if any charges have been laid against him, just that he was arrested on the Patriot Act. And you hate to see that happen. You know, I don't want to see anybody being arrested ever. But they are coming there. The government is there, and they are watching. And anybody who begins to make an impact or who makes too much of a name for themselves or who speaks out too much or runs in the wrong circles... You're on a list. Everybody's on a list. It doesn't matter whether you toe the line and you are 100% behind everything the government does. Good, bad, or good or bad, it doesn't matter. You're on that list anyways. You know, but I do want to comment on the fact that the Committees of Safety are not what Reddy was envisioning. And like you had mentioned, Dave, we have to be bottom up. That is the only way that our governmental system works. We have to be government up.
No, absolutely. It's critical because the sovereign individual, the person, and has to be at the very top, and you work your way all the way down. And the president should be the lowest man on the totem pole, and they've inverted that on us. And we've got a president. You know, we've had presidents for 150 years issuing executive orders. That's not in the Constitution anywhere. That's not how it's supposed to be. You know, from about the time of the Civil War on, they've turned they flipped the script on us. And they're doing all sorts of stuff by fiat. The president, has usurped the power of war and can go in and invade whatever he wants. You know, doesn't need permission from Congress, apparently, to, go bomb a country into oblivion. You know, we're over there in Libya, fighting against Gaddafi, but what in reality they're doing, they're bombing hospitals and killing civilians. It's just more of the same. It's foul and disgusting. It's repugnant.
It is, you know, and, you know, these are the things we're facing, though. You know, kudos to Ready for standing up. But again, you know, we have to look at these organizations that are out there that want our support, that want our participation in them. We have to look at these organizations that want our money. The Patriot industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. If you haven't gotten that in your heads yet, you need to start realizing this. Patriotism is an industry. There are billions of dollars being made on it as you and I sit here and speak or listen to each other, whatever it is. There are people getting rich off of our, off of you. And the vast majority of the stuff that they're making money off of you with is of no benefit. Their
Absolutely.
Efforts are of no benefit. Their efforts are nothing but more distraction, division, and taking us off into areas that, even if we did correct that one area, it makes no difference. We are still going to be piled upon millions of laws that are unconstitutional. There is only one resolution to this problem. We must go directly to the source of the problem and correct that problem. Putting 10,000 Band-Aids on 10,000 cuts is not going to save it. We need to cure the problem. So when you're looking at organizations out there, or an organization approaches you, we really have to look at that organization and analyze it, not just what they say, but by their actions as well, by their plan. Do they even have a plan? You know, most of these organizations that I've seen out there that want me to be a part of their organization, that want my money, that want my participation, they ask me for a lot. And all I ask of them is, you have a plan. And when I ask them about the plan, I'm given the runaround many times. Other times I'm, you know, sent to a page or sent a document that says, this is our plan. This is our goal. This is our mission statement. This is what we're going to do. And when I look at these plans, the vast majority of them are not plans. It's a wish list. It's, well, we want this. We want that. We want this. We're going to stand up and protest until we get it. Hopefully they'll listen to us this time, even though they haven't listened to us in over 100 years. That's not a plan.
No,
that's
not
a plan. It's
not at all. And that's majority of what you're finding out there is stuff like that. I mean, anybody can come up with a wish list. I think, you know, most of the people that are even halfway awake now can put an itemized list together. It's, you know, that isn't as important as how do we achieve these goals. You know, that's the important thing. And you're absolutely right about the 10,000 cuts. You know, okay, we can fight about all the symptoms, but if we don't start focusing in at the core problem and we pull this problem out by the roots and get rid of it, it's just going to keep growing back. You know, we can keep whacking at, you know, each of these symptoms, you know, all day long, and we're not going to gain any ground whatsoever.
I agree.
You know, it's a waste of time. You really have to look at what these people are talking about. You know, that when they say they're solution oriented, okay, what's your solution? You know, a lot of them are, even that start to put plans together, very short sighted. They won't follow it through all the way to the end. And okay, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, and hopefully that'll, you know, topple all of this over. But nobody thinks about what happens after that. You know, what happens in the power vacuum, you know, after they manage to fulfill their plans and cause this, you know, tyranny to collapse. They haven't thought that far, and that's a very big problem, because if we don't think that far, you know, all the way to the end, we're going to be in a world of hurt. That's why it's so vitally important for us to start establishing our civil authority from the ground up. So when there's a power vacuum, you know, our constitutional lawful civil authority can step into that role immediately, where there's no gap at all. There's no chance for usurpers or warlords or anything else to take over, because this is a very, you know, dangerous game. We could end up a whole lot worse than what we are now, if you can even imagine that, if we're not very careful and thoughtful about, you know, how we proceed.
Oh, we have to. So, you know, we have to look at these organizations. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not going to besmirch or belittle anybody, any patriot out there. I don't think anybody has ever heard me denounce or lambast anybody for their actions, whether I believe in what they're trying to do or not. Them personally, I don't. I might disagree with their ideas and their, and what they call a plan or what they're trying to do, and that's okay. I'm allowed to do that, but I don't. I don't denounce or speak ill of any patriot out there, and I'm not doing that of Ready either. You know, my heart goes out to that man and his family. This is not right when you end up having, you know, when your greatest fear in life comes true, that your government comes after you. And you are one man, and all of a sudden you find yourself standing alone. You know, my point of that was to bring about the his aspect of the Committees of Safety. And, you know, when you look at what they are trying to do with the Committee of Safety there and what they call it, it's, again, a top-down organization that has local chapters, but those local chapters must do what that top main national group says. They have to send up their dues, their tuition, their monthly payment to them, if you will, even. They say each one is run autonomously, but we're really not. So let's look at all the top-down organizations that we have had out there, and what have they done for us? The NRA, all these groups, man, they've all gotten rich. Their people are making money hand over fist off of you. The guy, the CEO for the NRA makes $12 million a year, and his assistant gets $6 million a year. That's $18 million of your guys' money that goes into their pockets before a penny goes to doing anything that they say they're supposed to be doing to help you and to protect your freedom and your right to bear arms. So, you know, let's take a look at these organizations and groups before we really get behind them, and let's really start looking at them. Let's get critical again, including with me, including these ideas that we present on this show. Anybody, let's be critical about them, and let's say, is there a plan? Is there a measurable benchmark for the various stages of that plan? Is their end goal something that I believe in? And have they defined not only how they're going to get, what change they want to make, but how to implement that change?
I totally agree. I think the good ideas will stand up against scrutiny, and the ones that have flaws will either be corrected or fall, and that's the way it should be, you know, and, you know, we shouldn't be immune to that. Nobody should be. You know, if what we're saying can't stand the test of scrutiny and truth, then, you know, hey, we need to correct it, and we need to get on the right path. I happen to have a personal opinion that I think we're on the right track, but that's just my opinion, and I'm just one person. You know, it's not about me. It's not about Randy. It's about all of us together, you know, unifying, taking a unified stand and doing this together. And this is a user participation sport. You know, we don't get to do this with just a handful of people. We need to get numbers involved. You know, we don't have to have the majority of the population, but we need to start getting some numbers in here and start getting these committees established, so we've got the stable foundation to work upon. If you don't have a stable foundation, then what are you going to do?
Agreed.
What are you going to accomplish? Nothing.
Agreed. You know, there's something else that I wanted to bring up about that as well. You know, there's another aspect to that now. Okay, we hear stories about the Gestapo, and we hear stories about communist Russia, or socialist Russia, I should say, because they weren't communists. They were the Soviet Republic. They were the Socialist Republic. You know, that's what they were. They were socialists. You know, the people turned on each other for money, for favor, just out of fear, hoping that they might be overlooked the next time the raid started, whatever it was. Because they wrote a letter to somebody who they've known their entire life, and next thing you know, that person is claimed to be an insurgent, and now you're guilty by association. You know, and let's look at what happened. You know, some guy went and told the police something about Reddy. No evidence, no proof of anything, just accusation. And a SWAT raid happened. No evidence. A search warrant still, to this day, I believe, was never presented. They said they had one. But then again, when is SWAT ever shown a search warrant? Their search warrant is the battering ram.
Yeah, pretty much. There was a day in this country that you were innocent until proven guilty, and that's been flipped around on you. Now we are in a paradigm where people are guilty until proven innocent, and we've lost that. In a very real way, this is an epidemic. You know, this isn't an isolated incident. You know, this keeps happening over and over and over again. How much more are we going to take?
We're going to take it until we do something about it. Is that, you know, it's not a matter of how much more we're going to take. It's a matter of when will we stop having to take it. And the answer to that is when we stop putting up with it.
Exactly.
You know, so the question is now, how do we do something about it? Protests? Yes, we need protests. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm down for a good protest. But a protest with a purpose, with an agenda that has an action backing it up. A protest by itself is not action. That's just a gathering of people saying, we're pissed off. The city ends up spending a bunch of money on cops to go out there and make sure that everybody behaves and to tell you that you can protest in this little area behind these ropes. That's not a protest. That's obedience to government. That's obedience to tyranny. First Amendment doesn't say, you know, it says there shall be no laws. You know, they can't tell us where to protest. They can't tell us when we can protest. And by asking for permission, by engaging in a permit, we're now engaging in something that we agree is illegal then, because that's what a permit is. It's written permission to engage in an act which is otherwise illegal. So by us even asking for damn permits, they make us concede to the fact that these protests are illegal. So therefore, they can be broken up.
Yep, there's something very wrong with that. And a lot of the protests that we see, that people show up for, you know, a few hours or an afternoon or a day, and then at the end of it, they all go home. Nothing changes. We need to start seeing some persistence in the protesting. That, you know, you have a plan, you stick to it, and you keep at it. You know, you don't give up. You know, you don't go home. You know, you camp out, you know, if necessary, for weeks or months. You know, that shows resolve. You know, they're not going to respect any of the things that we have to say until we can start showing resolve. Don't worry about them. They'll just go home at the end of the day. We'll be all right. And that's the majority of what's been going on. You know, we have this huge march in Washington, D.C. when we fill Washington Mall, but at the end of the day, everybody goes home. You know, how about, you know, post up a couple million people in Washington Mall for weeks or months? That would send a loud and clear message.
Well, you know what? Here's an idea. Next time you want to protest, or next time you're going to a protest, why don't you get with a bunch of the people beforehand? Yeah, or even get with just two other ones beforehand. You guys form a committee of safety. It only requires 3 to 5 people. You can do it with 3. Form a committee of safety. You get some paperwork, you get info, you get pamphlets put together. We're going to be making a CD. It's a digital CD. You can download it, burn it to disk. I don't know if it's going to be a CD or a DVD, but it's going to be one of them, depending on how big it is. You take those out, you hand them out. You get other people to join that committee of safety. Then, when you get a committee of safety together, then you could take a random sampling of people and say, look, we, you know, form a damn grand jury. When we start getting 10,000 lawfully convened grand juries, the reason our grand juries are being ignored today is because they are not lawful. You know, but we get grand juries convened then, and eventually, maybe, you know what, if we start getting 10,000 grand jury, you know, grand jury presentments put shoved through the courts, maybe, just maybe, one will actually make it to court and get tried.
Yep,
and then somebody will be found guilty. And then we have precedents, but it doesn't matter. Either way it goes, though, let's have an agenda here. Like we talked about on the Guerrilla War and the Guerrillas in the Mid series, the first one. Everything you do should have 2 or 3 goals of it. These are the goals of this one action. So let's start thinking about things like that. And, you know, there's things we can do daily. You know, I know I keep talking about committees of safety, but, you know, the militia as well. Everything that I talk about goes hand in hand for the militia and the committee of safety. You know, you need to. We need to get out there. Not just you. Everybody needs to get out there and take it back out on the streets, man. Go where people are. Go where the easy targets are first. VFWs. You know, go to the the Elks Club, the Moose Lodges, things like that. Go where people are. You know, still believe in those old American ideas. And look for people there, whether it's a committee of safety or a militia. But you gotta get active again. You know, we lost our country, because our country is lost. The New World Order is not coming. It is here. The tyranny is already here. It's been here for a long time. You're just now getting the memo about it. You're just being told about it. So.
We should have been doing something a long time ago, but the second best time is today, so let's get on it.
You're right. You know, the best time to start this was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. You know, and I can't preach that enough. You know, I know that a lot of us, you know, we spend a lot of time on the internet, and I do as well. Unfortunately, that's my only out course right now. Canada is not my problem, even though that's where I'm at right now. It's Canada's governmental problems are not my problems. I have no say here, so I focus on the U.S. because I do have a say there. You know, a lot of these ideas we present here are starting to take hold now, and people are talking about them, at least from New York to Washington. So, you know, these ideas are getting around. Now we just have to keep pushing them and get them going. They're starting to take hold, but nothing's going to stick until we actually start doing it. And nobody wants to be the first one in or the last one out. So we got to get pushed. We got to push through that. We got to make these first committees happen. We got to get them public. We got to let people know about them. We got to get membership up and running. Now, I know that there's a lot of fear out there. Man, look at Reddy. He didn't do anything wrong, man. Somebody said something to the police about him. There was no evidence, no proof of nothing, and they came down on him. But you know what? They're going to keep doing that because we're isolated and we're alone and nobody stands up for each other. You know, I mentioned Schaefer Cox many times in the past. You know, I like his ideas. Some of the things that he was doing, the Liberty Bell system, I thought was an incredible idea.
It's absolutely.
You know, that's the local committee of correspondence in action there. That's how that happened. But what it did do, though, man, is it put people on the hook now. You just got a message. Somebody needs help. Are you going to ignore it, or are you going to help? And you know that other people are going to show up. So now it kind of puts that pressure on you to show up as well, if it's possible. Now, I understand not everybody can show up at all hours of the day, all the time. I mean, you know, you take off from work, you get fired. You know, but for those that did not have a damn good explanation for why they didn't show, guess what? They started showing up. You know, and things were working with it.
Oh, absolutely. It was being extremely effective. It's a good model, and they can be implemented other places. It doesn't just have to be there. And that's, you know, what we were talking about earlier. You know, all the ideas, we need to discuss it, and we take the best ideas and run with them.
I agree. You know, so things are only going to change when we start supporting and protecting one another. Support is one. Protection is another. You know, they come and they steal our children from us with groups like Child Protective Services, who get paid $16,000 for every child that they come and take and they adopt out to somebody else. Tell me there isn't a financial motivation in taking your children away.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely sick. There's financial motivations for a lot of this stuff that's going on. And I've always said, follow the money. You know, we don't just ignore what these people are saying and just, you know, look at where the money's changing hands and, you know, what the motivations are on that. You know, we've, you know, come into a tyrannical and, you know, a parasitic profit model where, you know, these people will, you know, squeeze every last penny out of everybody and they don't really care what the collateral damage is anymore. You know, and if it causes more damage, hey, that's just more opportunity for them to find something else to make money off of you. And I like the whole medical industry and the big pharma paradigm. They make money because people are sick. Do you think they're going to let anybody come out with any cures? Hell no. It'll put them out of business. And it's unacceptable in their model, you know, to have anything good for the people because they're making so much money at our expense.
You know, here's the point that I was trying to bring up with Cox as well, and with, you know, this and with Reddy and anybody else, man, July 4 Patriot, you name it. I'm sure there's local people there, man. You know, forget about the big national guys, man. Just look at the local people in your town. You know, and I saw a message come across. It landed on my computer over on RAM, and somebody was asking for financial help and support for Schaefer Cox for, you know, the problems that he was facing. Now, I don't have a problem with this, but I had a couple of questions that popped through my head. Schaefer Cox supposedly had 3,500 militiamen or militia members. Now, I'm sure that some of them were from the same family, so let's cut that down now to, you know, cut it down to, let's say 1,700, you know, individual, you know, or 1,700 militia members that were from different families, let's say. You know, if everybody had given a dollar, that would be $17.50 a month that could be used to help pay his living expenses, because that's what the money was supposedly for, living, food, because all, you know, he was going broke paying, you know, attorneys, you know, paying legal expenses and so forth and so on. If everybody gave $2, you know, the cost of a cup of coffee, that would have been $3,500 a month. I could pay some bills with $3,500 a month. My question was, and I've said, and I've addressed this too about the people of Arizona and Texas and a lot of other places, people that are asking for help there. Where are the people? Where are your local people at? Where are the local people when we need help, when they need help, when you need help? Where are your groups at that you belong to? Where are they at? Why aren't we helping each other locally? Why, you know, we keep going out on the internet asking the world for help, and yet we're not helping each other locally. Why is that?
That question deserves an answer. Because if we can get people involved and we can get people helping each other out, it doesn't take everybody doing a whole lot, and just a little bit, and it's all combined, and the aggregate of all of it is quite a lot. You know, but if you've only got a handful of people, you know, with this enormous burden upon them, it's not ever going to work. You know, we've got to be able to share the load. We have to support each other. You know, if we've got large numbers, then, you know, just a dollar from everybody makes a very, very big impact. And it's certainly not a big impact upon us to, you know, spend a dollar a month on something. I mean, I think, you know, most of us will, you know, spend at least that much, you know, every week on something frivolous. You know, which is fine, but it really comes down to, hey, you know, we've got the resources here. If we can just, you know, pool them together, it's massive.
It is.
We've got to work together. We've got to support each other.
And also, you know, there's groups starting to come out and realize that, you know, you got militia groups that, you know, again, though, you know, we're starting to engage in a lot of these things. You know, we forget that it's not our role as militia. It's not our role. You know, that's a sad thing. You know, militia are not supposed to be out there doing disaster relief. Yes, you can go out there as a militia, as a person that belongs to a militia and go do it, but you're not acting in the role of the militia. But today it seems we have to anymore, even, because we don't have anybody else doing that for us. You know, our job is to be training out there. Our job is not to be doing parades and, you know, going out and doing constitutional classes. That was always the role of the Committee of Safeties, or the Committees of Safety. We needed to start getting back to what works. Everybody has a role to play, and as long as we keep going outside of those roles and we're not helping and supporting each other, and we're not engaging in actual plans, and we're not doing, we're never going to get it straight. You know, where were all of Reddy's Committee of Safety members at?
That's another good question, but you're absolutely right. Everybody's got a role to play. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. There's always some role that you can fill that works towards the end goal, you know, whether it's just, you know, training or logistics or, you know, actually out there, you know, training and humping a pack. I mean, it doesn't really matter, because each and every aspect of it's important. You know, there's people that, you know, are, you know, old and frail that they can't be out there, you know, in the field, that, you know, have plenty that they can contribute, and just sitting at a desk, you know, communicating with people, corresponding with people, working on logistics and training. It doesn't really matter. I mean, there's a role for each and every person out there.
You know, I got into a discussion with somebody on one of the militia sites. You know, and at first I started to get upset with this person, and then I was actually saddened, because I realized what this conversation really meant. This conversation was about the protests in Wisconsin, Now, this person was demanding that the militia of Wisconsin go out there and secure their state, protect the people against these protesters. Yeah. Now, I don't agree with I don't agree with public unions. That's a complete and utter violation of our concepts of a republic and a free state. But they are engaging in their right to free speech. But this person wanted to go and put them down. She also didn't understand the role of the militia. The militia cannot act on their own. They must be mustered by somebody, and the militia cannot muster itself. Just like our army cannot go and invade a country on its own. It can only do so at word from Congress. How far we've fallen from that concept, but they can only go when Congress has declared war. You know, who's going to muster the militia now? The governor? Governors aren't acknowledging the militia. So when the militia is not acknowledged by the rightful civil authority, that leaves only one choice for the militia. They must go to the community and form a civil authority that they can then subordinate to. That's how it's been forever. Look at Massachusetts with the first committees that were formed there. You know, and that's what this conversation broke down to, was a complete and utter lack of understanding of how a republic works, what the role of the militia is, the role of government, all this stuff. She wanted, basically, for the militia to become a police state arm and go and put down people that she disagreed with.
Yeah, that's highly problematic.
And the sad thing was is that this person had many supporters in that chat room, and I was actually attacked for this. I was told I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I was told my ideas are outdated and don't work anymore. I thought the Constitution was timeless. I thought the Declaration of Independence was timeless. I thought the writings of our founding fathers were timeless. But apparently, you know, we don't all see things the same way. And this is the problem we have in the country today. We have a lot of people out there who got the wrong impression about everything, including that Constitution. They preach freedom, but then they want, you know, but when they get their freedom, they want to enact laws against acts or speech that they don't like. Things that are free will. Things that should be left up to the individual state, county, town to decide on their own.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's important that we support, you know, everybody's right to be heard and have their opinions heard, even if we don't agree with them. You know, that's the whole point of the First Amendment is to, you know, give us a platform where we're able to, you know, air these things out. You know, everybody needs to be heard because in the end, you know, the good ideas, you know, will end up, you know, surviving and thriving and, you know, getting people behind them. And if we start being selective about, okay, we don't agree with you, so we're going to suspend your rights, you know, to speak. Hey, wait a minute. Even if we're well-intentioned and right on that and we're getting rid of bad ideas, that ends up becoming abused. And we end up finding ourselves in a situation where we're at right now, you know, where the governments can, you know, crack down on the things that they don't agree with and say, oh, you can only, you know, talk about things that are, you know, pro our agenda and the rest of it's, you know, forbidden. And here we are right now. That's exactly what's happening. And that's absolutely unacceptable. So, you know, unfortunately, we have to deal with some people with some bad ideas out there, but we have to support their right to be heard.
There was a couple of comments that came up in the chat room. I've kind of forgotten that we're being broadcast other places. Our chat room is at uftreadonme.com. www.uftreadonme.com. Click on the radio page. That's where our chat room is. Now, there was a couple of chats from the chat room that I wanted to talk about that came up. One of them was a question, you know, where is Cox's 3,500 militia at? That's a good question. I haven't heard anything from them. I don't live there, so I don't know that they aren't doing something. But where were they when, you know, apparently, you know, Cox was being kicked out of places. His militia were turning his back on him. Now, I don't know if Cox is guilty of these crimes or not. I have not seen any evidence I've heard accusations. I've not seen any evidence. But more importantly, I didn't see any action on their part. And that's what creates a crime. There must be a victim. You can plot and plot and plot to do things all day. But according to our ideas of justice, until you actually create a victim, there is no crime.
Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, the whole victimless crime paradigm has really become, you know, an epidemic. You know, it's ridiculous. Things as simple as, you know, being fined for not wearing your seatbelt. You know, I think that's just, you know, offensive on its face. And we've got these legislators out here just, oh, you know, law after law after law, thousands of pages, just they keep throwing them at them, you know, millions and millions, and it just keeps coming and coming, and it's just become this, you know, clusterfuck of law that no one man can ever digest in a given lifetime. And even if every one of those laws were just and you know dealt with, you know, victims, you still have this fundamental problem where there's too many laws for anybody to understand in their entirety. You know, so this whole, you know, thing, ignorance is no excuse for the law. Well, no, you know, that's bullshit at this point, because, you know, everyone is ignorant of some portion of the law, because none of us have spent our entire lives doing nothing but reading law. And even if we did that, we still would run out of time. We'd die before we got to the end of all of this. And they just keep adding more and more and more, thousands upon thousands of pages of legal ease babble talk that, you know, only the attorneys seem to be able to understand. It's cryptic, and you know, they hide stuff in here. You know, it's deceitful on its face. We've got a very big problem with this.
We do. You know, you know, so again, you know, where is our local and public support of each other at? You know, when Cox was needing money, I'm sure that I know there's some people there that don't even have two pennies to rub together, but I know that there was other ones that buy a cup of coffee every day on the way to work. So when, you know, people were sending out calls for help for Schaefer Cox to help him out locally, you know, to help him out with his finances to help feed and, you know, support his family, keep a roof over their head and so forth. First off, where was the help there locally? You know, they got 3,500 members. A buck a member is $3,500 a month. The cost of a cup of coffee, $2, which I know many of them drink on their way to work each day, would have given him $7,000. He could start paying his bills and legal expenses with that. What if we actually went to $3 each? Numbers get kind of scary there. So, you guys, everybody out there, you know, you really need to start looking at your community and asking yourself, how much support do I have? How much support do we really have here? And will we support each other? And if not, I mean, you guys need really, you know, we need to start working on this. I'll get into that here again in a little bit, because I kind of want to go into something that Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in the Gulag Archipelago. But another comment that I saw in the chat room, which is it is correct in a sense, but incorrect in a few senses as well. It said the militia is a free people, period. If someone wants to take that freedom, they will resist with force if necessary. It's that simple. Yes and no. Maybe this is arguing semantics, I'm not sure, but there are two forms of militia. One is militia spelled with a capital M. That is the actual organized body of. Now, militia throughout time have had different meanings and so forth. Our militia here, since Magna Carta, and even today with our, you know, with our heritage and our culture and our customs and our laws in the U.S., the capital M militia is an organized body. And it does answer to someone. It answers to the civil authority. Now, the second definition of militia, little, you know, lowercase m, that's an individual that belongs to, that is part of the militia. Now, that can refer to when, like when England would go around and conscript the militia, they would snatch you up and take you out of your homes and make you go join. At that point, you know, before you were actually part of that militia, you were the lowercase militia. Now, here's something to think about, though. Free people. Let's say that these free people, many of these, let's say the liberals decide one day to form their militias. Now, if that's the case, you know, if militia are just any free people, well, these people can say that they're free to engage upon what they want, and they can form their militia now. What happens then? What happens when you know, there was a black militia, a Jewish militia, an Arabic militia. Native American militias, and each one are not out for the Constitution, but out for their own personal agendas.
Oh, that turns into a mess. I mean, you could have a bloodbath out of that.
We have France during their Civil War. During their Revolution.
Much.
That's what we have. We have France during their Revolution. That's what we have.
And that was a bloody mess.
And our militia was different for a reason. Ours was the only revolution that ever happened in the history of the country that actually freed the people and didn't devolve into many, many civil wars right immediately afterwards. Ours was the only one that worked, and it was because our militia was different than everybody else's militia out there. We weren't just armed bands of people. We were an organized body of people who were under a civil authority. That is the huge difference there. Liberal militia, the Tory militia, 1775, okay. That's my point. We must really understand the definition of America's militia. And it's not what a lot of people out there think. Now, I'm not saying there can't be those groups that are not militia that are armed. I support security teams. Everybody has the right to band together to form natural defense.
Absolutely.
You know, the Sons of Liberty were one of those security teams that we speak about in the, when we talk about the plan for the restoration of constitutional government. You can find that at the Outpost of Freedom on the blog. If anybody wants the link to the plan, feel free to email me, randymack@ufotredemy.com. I will get you a copy of the plan, and if you read that and you want to read more, there's a full version of the plan, much longer, much more detailed. And there's also 11 audios to go along with it, so if you would like to get the information on this plan, it's a hypothetical plan brought forth by a question that Gary Hunt was asked. Could a revolution be successful in a modern-day theater? And at first, Gary thought the answer was no. But then he started thinking about it, and what he actually came up with was the Founding Fathers' plan, modified for a modern theater. So, but there are roles for these groups out there. You know, the Sons of Liberty played an incredible role in that whole era. They were a catalyst. So don't get me wrong, I'm not denouncing or lambasting any private security teams out there, by all means. But let us understand the difference in these things. There is a difference, and we cannot be free until we understand all aspects of our republic. Because the less we understand, the more likely we are to allow these changes to happen again when we do restore it. We must understand that thing like we understand, you know, like we understand that 1 + 1 = 2. It must be secondhand, it must be just knowledge that we can pull at the top of our head. Otherwise, we won't know what we defend, and we won't see it when they start to take away our freedom again, after it's restored again. So, you know, we have to understand these differences, and they're small differences, they're slight differences, yes, but they make, and they made, all the difference in the world for the U.S. of A., or for the colonists at the time, who became the Confederate States, who then became the U.S. of A. It was these small, minor differences in the way we did things that made all the difference in the world. Educate yourselves. You know, Gary has often said, if it's not on YouTube, it's not worth knowing, is the mentality that people have today. We don't put stuff on YouTube. You know, I'm not saying that YouTube doesn't have good info on there. I've pulled lots of good info on there. I've pulled stuff on how to build a Viking long home.
Absolutely, incredibly.
You know, so
you've got to be willing to read, though.
You know, but when you watch something, you only retain a very small percentage of it. When you read something, you hold up to 60% of it just from one reading. We have to read daily anymore. We have to get our brains to think again. And we don't just have to read. We have to analyze what we're reading and asking the who, the what, the where, the when, the how, and the why of it. We have to engage in critical thought again. And we must hold everybody We have to hold everybody's feet to the fire here on this. You know, if I say something that is inaccurate, if I present info that is not proper and not correct, if I say things that are not true, you have to hold my feet to the fire. And Gary, and anybody else that comes that you come across, we must hold each other accountable for the truth. And when we're presented with the truth and we're shown that our, that what we're saying is wrong, let us not have ill feelings about this. We should embrace that person and say, thank you for caring enough to come and bring this to my attention.
Hear, hear.
And let me correct what I'm saying now. Thank you very much. And we must hold each other to, and we got to start holding each other's feet to the fire on this as well, with that local action and local support. You know, where you know, I don't know where if they're doing something or not, but where is the support for Schaefer Cox from his own militia? Where is the support and the help and the participation from the people in Arizona for the border ops that are going on down there by a few people that are trying to protect their freedom? Where is that local support, whether it's in actual manpower or food, water, supplies, a couple of bucks? Where is the support in our local areas, even amongst each other? You know, forget the local population. Where is the support amongst ourselves? You know, Gary has brought forth several ideas that the Committees of Safety could be used today. For instance, let's say you've got somebody in your committee, let's say you've got somebody in your area that is on welfare, or they're going to be forced onto welfare, and they're going to be subjected now to that whole 14th Amendment citizenship status because they're now seeking benefit from the government. Well, you know, the Committees of Safety could grab that person and say, look, we'll help you. We'll find you a job. We'll get you something. So you don't have to go under the government's hand. The Committee of Safety could get out there and start getting community disgust and indignation going when our children start being taken by Child Protective Services. You know, imagine what happens when you got 500, 600, 700 people standing on your front lawn because the Child Protective Services want to come and take your child because you're an unfit father or mother because you taught them the Constitution. That's the kind of support we should have. You know, think about this. Think about this for a moment. What would Washington have done, or Jefferson, or Hancock, or Revere, or Adams? Either one of the Adams, Samuel or John. You know, what would Ethan Allen have done if he got a knock on his door? And somebody said, hey, I'm from the King's Child Protective Services, and we're here to take your children because you're teaching them things about Magna Carta, and we don't like that. You're teaching your children that they're free, if they have the rights of free Englishmen, and we don't like that. So we're here to take your child from you. Or they went up to Washington and said, hey, Washington, if he had children, and they said, hey, Washington, we don't like the fact that your 8-year-old is out there with that axe chopping wood. Yeah, that's unsafe. You're an unfit parent. What would they have done? What would they have done?
It wouldn't have gone over too well. I can guarantee that.
You know, the town would have come out.
Oh, yeah.
The town would have come out. Where's our towns now coming out? So start working on this. I mean, this is something we need to look at. It's something we need to think of. You know, Gary also wrote an incredible article called Informants Amongst Us, not just on what to look out for, but those people that find themselves trapped in those situations. There are solutions to help these people as well. And, you know, committees again. Multiple uses and purposes of the committees, and the militia back them up with their teeth. You know, the militia is the committee's teeth. They have their role to play, just like the committees have their role to play. But again, where is our local support? Where is Schaefer Cox's 3,500 militia? Where is, you know, Reddy's Committee of Safety out there? Where is the disgust? Where is the outrage? on the local level? Where is the support from people saying, we're not going to take it, and we're going out there, and we're going to help now? And they show up on the door while the cops are there. And as they're on the way, they're calling everybody else they know and telling them to show up. And they don't leave. And they block roads, and they don't let them out. What are we? This is how it begins. This is how it starts, with us being willing to stand up for another person and saying, I will help you. I will help you defend your freedom and your liberties and your rights. It starts with a few good men. It starts with a few brave men and women who will say, I have had enough, and I'm not going to let them do this to you. You know, I forgot the saying, they came for the socialist. You know, first they came for the socialist, then they came for the whatever it is. You know, then they came for, you know, and then they came for the Jews, and then they came for me. And there was nobody left to stand up for me. We don't stand up for each other. That needs to change. That needs to stop. And nothing's going to change until you start standing up for someone else.
You got that right. You hit the nail on the head there. You know, we're in this together. And if we don't support each other and back each other up, I mean, we're going to be in a world of hurt. You know, nobody else is going to come do it for us. It's up to us.
You know, maybe we need to bring back the torches and the pitchforks. And all throughout the feudal days, they had their torches and they had their pitchforks. And when they grabbed them, the lords in that area had known that they had far, far exceeded the will of the people to be left, you know, to be trampled upon. And they were willing to grab torches and pitchforks against armed military men in armor and swords and horses. Where are we today? Have we gotten soft? Have we been domesticated?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is a famous line, we are not descended from fearful men.
Not at all, but the society has been domesticated, indoctrinated, dumbed down, and put in a constant state of fear. And they're paralyzed by fear. And you get it from all sides of the media. It's not just the mainstream media that fear mongers, but you've got, you know, other factions on the, you know, air quote, patriot, you know, side that do just as much fear mongering. And it's really time to get over the fear and start actually engaging in solutions. You know, we don't have the time or energy to be afraid anymore. It doesn't ever change anything.
Well, you know, this is actually a great time to go into that one subject I wanted to talk about on the Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. This is actually the perfect part to go into it. Now, I don't have the book in front of me. I loaned it out along with one of my copies of Resistance to Tyranny. I loaned it out to a Canadian here, man. I'm trying to get people to read everywhere I go. Read. So, but I know it pretty well. I'm not going to say it verbatim, but here's the gist of it. Oh, how we burned at night in the camps, thinking, what if we had just done something? Now, that statement, and it's a big, long idea that it's a big, long rant that he goes into in the it's a footnote on the bottom of one of the pages. But the idea is that they did nothing. When the NKVD came at night, in the day, they did nothing. And they willingly allowed themselves to be taken away. And they often tiptoed down the stairs so as not to disturb their neighbors, and so their neighbors wouldn't know what was going on. And they never cried out in protest, and they never said anything. They were docile because they thought, if I make problems, it'll just make it harder on me. I've done nothing wrong. I'm innocent. I'll be let go. I have done nothing wrong. And he said, what if? What if we had just laid in wait for them in the bottom of the stairwells, knowing that I'm sorry, what if we had just waited with axes, with axes and hammers and pokers and anything else we had at hand, knowing that any skull that we cracked would be that of an evil man? Or any Black Mariah, which was the carriages, the wagons that they would come and take you away at, was only guarded by a single driver. And what if we had stolen those or disabled them? And what if those people that came out to take us started disappearing and started being killed? And what if they became afraid to come out? But they didn't. And Solzhenitsyn says this, they didn't. The people sat there and they endured it. And then one day they realized that in Leningrad, 25% of the population had been taken. And Leningrad had over 1 million people.
Yeah, that's just one city. It's coming
in. It had a huge population. There was a ton of people there. And they came. And nobody did anything. And nobody stood up for each other. And nobody helped resist tyranny. So now, if you're not willing to stand up for somebody else and defend their freedom, how willing will you be to stand up and defend your own freedom? And if you don't stand up and defend somebody else's freedom, for what reason would anybody have to come and help you defend yours? This is the problem that we have. This is where we lie. This is where we sit. You know, that saying goes that we are not descended from fearful men. One of our presidents said that. I forgot which one. The name slips me at the moment. But anymore, you know, you look around out there and we're not afraid to speak anymore. We're afraid to talk about ideas. We're afraid to go out into the public and form committees. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid. And our fear creates more fear. It creates inaction. You know, fear keeps you from taking that first step of a thousand steps on the journey to freedom. It keeps you from taking that first step. It keeps you from engaging in action. It keeps you afraid to do anything because they might come for you next. Well, you know what? They're going to come for you anyways. What difference does it make what difference does it make when anymore? They have openly told us your freedoms are no longer yours. They have openly told us that Constitution is dead and buried. They have already told you that we are now a global government. We are that global village. They have told you that Bill of Rights means nothing anymore. They have told you. We're telling you something different. And we're trying to show you a way to make it happen and to take back what is ours, what has been lost. You know, but it's going to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. You know, there was a lone man that stood in front of tanks at Tiananmen Square, and he stood alone. And all these years later and all these decades later, China's still enslaved. What will you do when somebody asks you for your help? What will we do when somebody asks us for our help in defending their freedom? Will we worry about the fact that, if I help you, I could get in trouble. I might go to jail. I don't know. I could get a ticket for this. Protesting, we could get a ticket. We might even get arrested for disturbing the peace, trespassing. I'm glad our founding fathers didn't worry about that, or any of the any of those founding fathers, including all the colonists. I'm glad they didn't worry about that. I'm glad that in a very short period of time that the Sons of Liberty were over 2,000 people strong. I'm glad that they didn't let these things stop them. Or the world would never have known freedom.
The price of freedom was paid in blood. And it probably will be again. And how much of it's really up to us. You know, the sooner we start getting together and unifying, the more we can mitigate that, and the less bloodshed has to occur.
You know, people, you know, people think about a revolution and they think, you know, like our Revolutionary War, they think of the war, you know, they think of the war itself as the revolution that happened. That's what freed our people, that's what freed the colonists and created a nation. That's not quite true. The revolution happened in the hearts and the minds of the people, the colonists at the time, when they looked at their neighbors and their neighbors were being trampled upon. And they said enough, and they said no, and they stood up, and they started kicking judges out and making them remove themselves from the bench and sending them out of the town and exiling them. And these people went, and the judges never complained and bitched about it later. They never came back and said, oh, well, I only resigned under duress. When they started taking houses and taking property and tearing homes down, they did not worry about these things. That was when the war, that was the revolution, that was the real revolution there. The revolution started in the actions of the people before the war ever happened. The war was just a byproduct of that revolution. We're in a revolution right now. Many revolutions at the same time, in fact. Our politicians have revolted against we the people. They have decided that our republic form of government that we are guaranteed is not acceptable to them and their desires and their goals and their agendas. So they have decided that it is time for it to go. They have rebelled against we the people. There's another revolution going on as well with the people. Some are more involved in the revolution than others. Some are further along that path. Some are Tea Partiers who go out there and they protest the left wing, and they want the return to their republic, you know, to the Republican Party ways. Some are Tea Partiers that see beyond that and say it's all part of the same crap and we need to get back to the Constitution. Some are seeing beyond that and realizing that more and more needs to be done. So the question is, what are we going to do with this revolution we currently find ourselves in? Our politicians have rebelled and revolted against the Constitution, and we the people, their rightful masters. We are rebelling against their tyranny in our hearts and in our minds, and more are growing daily. The problem is, though, is that we're not directing this energy. We're not harnessing it. We're not encouraging it in various ways. We're not giving it the infrastructure that it needs to progress and to become more than just mob mentality.
And that's important that we do that, because flat out mob mentality isn't going to get us anywhere productive.
You know, let's look at these protests. You know, these protests have no agenda. There's no purpose. There's no action to them except the protest itself. So what did they accomplish? Nothing has been changed. People say that we got a whole bunch of Tea Party congressmen elected. Well,
that worked out so well.
How did that work out for you? Because last I checked, all of them but 10, maybe less, re-voted to keep the Patriot Act going. So how did all those protesting for all those years with the Tea Party, man, all those protests culminated into a victory with getting a few people elected, and how did that work out? Do you feel like you wasted your time yet? Do you feel slapped in the face? Do you feel betrayed? Well, if you do, then we got a home for you. Whether you want to hump a pack in a militia, or you want to be in the civil, you know, or you want to be part of that civil body, the Committee of Safety, or you want to help support these groups with other ways, there's a role for you. We got a home for you. There's an actual plan out there, and I encourage everybody to read the stuff that we put out there. If you're not sure where you can find our stuff, here, you can find it at wellregulatedamericanmilitia.com. You can find it at AmericanMilitiaMovement.com. You can find it at American Well Regulated Militia, AWRM.com. You can find it on UnitedStatesMilitia.com. You can find it on Outpost-of-Freedom.com. You can find it at committee.org. You can email me. So get involved. Start reading. Start listening. Start doing. You know, I've been really impressed over the last couple months. You know, I got discouraged. I got disgusted. You know, for so long that we had been talking about committees of safety, and there weren't any. Not one. Not one had started. So I stopped. I got discouraged. I got disgusted again. I was also burned out. 70, 80 hours a week doing this will do that to you every week nonstop. You know, no days off. It's always the same. You know, I came back, though, because I really started seeing everywhere I went on all the boards, everybody was talking about committees of safety, or they were talking about it enough, and they were taking it to the other people. And I got hopeful. And I realized that, you know, my time had not been wasted. Because I was really thinking that, you know, the last 24 years, just like I had thought before, that everything I've done was a waste of time. It was wasted. Everything that I had accomplished before is gone. It's dust. It's non-existent. So what did I achieve? What did I accomplish besides nothing? So maybe this time, you know, we can actually do something with this and take it somewhere. Make it our own thing in your local town. Forget the national organizations. Forget the national groups. Forget those groups with a national leadership. You're the leaders in your town. Even hand. We don't have any militia or committees of safety in this county. I'm thinking about giving info at my booth. That's what you need to do, Even Hand. If it doesn't exist, then you make it happen. You be the force that creates that in your county and in your town. You do what has to be done. We get out there and we do it daily. And blogging is not going to be the answer to this. You know, you're just posting another news story that's already been posted 10 million times already. And before the day is over, there will be 100 million different posts about it. What difference does your one make? Go do something real. Go do something that has lasting benefit and lasting value. Go make a new acquaintance. Go find a new person to join a committee of safety. Go start a committee. Go start a militia. Go start a security team.
Do something.
Like Gary said, let's go have a tea party. Yeah, not one of the tea parties like we see today. Let's go have a tea party. Teeth. Action with teeth. We got to start baring some teeth, people. We got to bare our teeth. And maybe, just maybe, if we bare them enough, and they see enough anger, and they see enough indignation in our eyes, maybe, just maybe, they will stop and it will give them pause. Until we can solidify even more. And maybe they won't. And maybe we'll have to be tossed into the anvil, you know, maybe we'll be tested in the fires on the anvil there, and we'll have to, you know, make it happen, or we'll lose it all. But either way it goes, the elections are over. They've been over. The ballot box is broken. The ballot box has been stolen from you.
And nothing's ever changed with that. It's the same agenda. It's the lobbyists, the special interests that are running the show nowadays. You know, it doesn't really matter whether you have a D or an R after your name anymore. It's, you know, two sides of the same damn monster. And until we start, you know, showing the teeth, showing the resolve, they're not going to respect us. They're not going to fear us. You know, we've got to put the fear of God into them. We've got to be able to hold them accountable. And as long as they see us as weak and compliant, they have no reason to change their behavior at all.
You know, we have these, armed protest marches or whatever they are. You know, next time you have a tea party march, man, why don't you all just take your rifles and put your tape, you know, tape your signs to the rifles? That'll be a little bit more impactful than that little wooden stick you got it on. Take your rifles. Tape your signs to your rifles. I bet that would give the cops a whole bunch of pause, you know, when they're sitting there looking at, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, and instead of signs, they've got rifles with signs on them. That would give them a whole bunch of pause before they start beating on everybody with PR-24s and other things.
Yeah, bring your video.
Maybe when we start letting them know we are done, we have had enough, we are tired, and we're not going to take not one more abuse from you, then and only then will you see any change. But it starts with us, you know, in Tomahawk, you're right. You know, people are getting the word out, you know, and I'm not saying that you guys aren't, man. I'm not promoting this show at all. Our downloads are climbing. The number of hits we're getting on the live stream are climbing daily. Now, you guys are getting the word out, man. You guys are helping out there. Don't get me wrong. Everything that you guys do is greatly appreciated. But you are right. We need to do more active roles in our local areas. And that is where this is where we're breaking apart at. We're not focused under one banner. We're not focused under a plan. We're not focused on an agenda. We don't have a plan. Well, most of us don't. Those who have listened to the show long enough and you've actually read the things that we've discussed, that have been written, and the plans and the ways to implement the change that can be made, and specifically the changes that will be made with our olive branch petition, the You Have Tread on Me petition. That is our olive branch, our last final shot. This is where we're at. We are that's what this movement is. That this is what You Have Tread on Me Radio is all about. It's all about that olive branch petition. This is our last effort at the peaceful resolve.
Yep, last warning, straighten up and fly right or else.
So, you know, but don't think we're going into this with our eyes shut and and half cocked. You know, that plan that Gary's so magnanimously just took unto himself, man, and just drafted up is just incredible. You know, I've compared it, step for step, item for item, to what Joseph P. Martino says, and I can find no fault with it. I can find no areas where I can see any fault with it. And again, it's hypothetical. Let's hope that it never becomes realistic. But I honestly don't see any other recourse myself. You know, they will not allow any other peaceful resolve to happen. I'm not preaching revolution. I'm preaching as peaceful a restoration as possible. They revolted against us. They have violated their oaths of office. They have stolen your children. They have stolen your blood, your sweat, your labors. They have stolen your land. They have taken everything from you that you have to take, except enough for you to barely survive on. And when you can no longer survive on that, then they take your freedom and they take everything and they put you on welfare. And they give you government assistance. And then you have no choice but to behave because they'll just cut you off. They have taken everything from us. Let's hope that they have not taken our will. So those of you who still have the stomach, who still have the will, those of you who are not descended from fearful men, let's start getting something together. Let's start putting these plans into action. Let's start doing these things. Let's share the info. Now, tomorrow and Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to be completing up the outline of all the of that CD disc that we're going to be putting out there. I'm going to have Gary take a look at it to see if to see if he thinks it's okay. I don't know if anybody hasn't noticed, but Gary's kind of been pulling back from the Committee of Safety thing and kind of letting me run with this whole thing. I'm a much better mouthpiece for it. You know, I'm a much better proponent for it than he is. Gary likes to write. He likes to plan. He likes to do these things. And like Gary said, you know, some people are just a little bit too radical to be the spokesman for the Committees of Safety. Gary is very much so that you know, he's very much so that modern day revolutionary. So, I'll have that ready for you guys in the next couple of days. So I'll send it out. Give me your input, your info on it. You know, before I really put it out there for public consumption, I want to get it out to a few hands. Make sure that it's okay. Make sure that you guys aren't finding any things that I've left out, things that needed to be discussed. I know what I know. I know what Gary knows, and Gary knows what Gary knows. But so maybe maybe what we present isn't enough yet. So I'll send out a thing letting people know it's done. Request, you know, hit me up. Let me know that you would like a copy of it, and I'll get it out to you. All I ask is that you let me know what you think, and that you listen to it, read through it first, and tell me if you think it's complete enough. Or if I've missed something in there. But this will be to help you present the committees of safety in a much easier way. To give things to people, to show them what the committees are. Historically, and what they could be today. You know, we have suffered so much. You know, somebody mentioned the Wacos, the Ruby Ridges. There's been so many of those, it's not even funny.
First blood was drawn on us a long time ago.
There's been so many of those. I mean, hell, just talking about them, just trying to remember them all is enough to wear you out.
Yeah, that is.
When are we going to say enough? When are we going to stop? When are we going to say I'm done? So what are we going to do? You know, like I said, you know, this thing wasn't about me. I wanted to hear about some of you guys as well. So if you guys got some ideas, you guys got something to say, if you want to tell me that I'm full of shit and that I don't know what I'm talking about, now's your chance. Jump on in here. 877-374-3980. And I was on that same chat room that I talked about before. I was in there a couple weeks ago and I was attacked. I was told I was full of shit. I was told all this stuff, but nobody ever comes and tells me this stuff on the show. I wonder why. Maybe then they would have to actually defend their position and their stance and provide evidence and proof thereof.
No, exactly. People are very willing to you go behind people's back and talk shit about them, but when it comes time to man up and stand toe-to-toe and have a conversation about it, they shrink and run away.
Also, if you guys aren't by a phone, I don't know. I don't know why, but if you're not by a phone and you want to jump in on Skype, just let me know. Drop your Skype name in the chat room, and we'll bring you in through Skype. You know, but I really want to start hearing from you guys as well. I want to start hearing your ideas on whatever, on the ideas that we present. Where do you see fault? Have you guys read this? I mean, I know a lot of you have you know, but I would think that there would be questions. I had a ton of questions. And I was kind of like, you know, I was kind of involved in a lot of this stuff. And I got questions. I've had a lot of them. So I know that there has to be questions out there. The only way we're really going to be able to make it so that I'm not, you know, so that myself and Gary and a couple of others aren't the only real teachers of this information out there is to make all of you guys just as knowledgeable or at least proficient enough to go out there and teach it to your local community. So please, by all means, come with the questions, including, Randy, why are you full of shit, if that's how you feel? But if that's how you feel, please present why you think I am. So let's get in here. You know, let's talk about some of these things. Let's talk about some of these ideas. Let's talk about some of your fears. You know, I know that a lot of people are worried about the government out there. I've been worried since 86. You know, that's when I realized I'm afraid. And then I realize I have two choices. I can either let that fear control me and do nothing and hide and cower and hope it never comes, you know, hope that the things that I'm reading about and the things that I'm seeing and the things that they're telling me are going to be coming don't come to pass. Or I can create my own hope. I could get out there and actually do something about this. I chose to do something about it. I've never been one to let fear harness me, to let fear bridle me, to let it restrain me and keep me inactive and a slave to it. So,
fear is a control paradigm. Let's straight up.
Which chat? The chat doesn't matter which chat. It was just one of the chats. It was one of the, you know, I'm pretty much only on four boards. There was four chat. You know, there's two chats. So, you know, take your pick. You know, but I'll be honest with you, man. This happens at all the boards. I mean, you know, I've always got some people that come in out of nowhere, out of left field, you know, and they try to bash, you know, they don't even bash me or the things I say. They try to attack me personally for whatever reasons, you know, and that, you know, again, you know, the question is I'm not the leader. I'm not the, you know, I'm just a messenger here about some ideas. You guys are the leaders out there. What are you going to do? You know, I don't preach myself. I don't talk about, you know, I preach about Gary Huntman. I love his work. I love his writings. You know, I saw his stuff 2 years ago and I started posting it everywhere. Didn't know the guy yet. And then we started talking. 2 years later, we're still talking. We're still here and we've got a plan. And it's not just our plan. It's a plan built upon the ideas and suggestions and the insight of a lot of people, including many that are dead, like our founding fathers. You know, but it was people like you that gave a lot of the insight and a lot of the things in there from their questions. So let's get those questions going. Let's start asking each other these questions. Let's hold each other to the fire. Let's put our feet in, let's hold each other's feet to the fire and let's make ourselves accountable. Let's make each other accountable. Not only for what we say, but what we do. There are so many people out there on these radio shows that spout garbage and vitriolic filth and just lies. And we condone them and they still remain around. There's always that rule, you know, there's always that, this just in, straight from top White House insiders that only I know. Martial law by April 16th. Nuclear strike in the Gulf of Mexico. FEMA camps will start to get filled up in the Gulf of Mexico with all the inhabitants of the Gulf of Mexico. All of this stuff comes out, and we never call them on it. Again, the committees of safety could actually go out there and maybe validate some of these people.
Yeah, if they're telling the truth.
Promote and support them. Those that go out there and present lawful, factual, you know, historically accurate, lawfully accurate information, we hold them up. And we openly denounce the others that lie to us and present and do nothing but present fear and fear mongering. And then the next thing you know, out of their next breath, but we've got the solution for you. And it's only going to cost you $9.95, $19.95, $29.95, or $49.95. And you can watch it, drink it, or gulp, you know, watch it, drink it, eat it, or read it.
And if you order now, we'll throw in a set of Ginsu steak knives.
Free shipping on any orders over $100. Now, we need to start calling these people, we need to start holding people accountable, locally as well. Ourselves, more so. We need to hold ourselves accountable. Every day when you look in that mirror, you ask yourself, did I put in my day's work? Were the actions that I engaged in today beneficial? Are they something that I can build upon tomorrow to create an even stronger foundation? Or did I just waste time online? Did I just blog about some stuff? Did I just sit in a chat room and do not much of anything except talking about growing food? Which, don't get me wrong, growing food is important, but you don't need to chat about that. If you want to share that information, and hey, I've benefited from much of that information that you guys share out there on growing food. But it doesn't have to be an all-day event. Write your little thing, post it, move on. Do something now that is beneficial, that is impactful in your community. Do something that builds and creates a foundation, a brick wall against tyranny. And when you can answer yourself, the vast majority of the days of the week, yes, I have done something that is lasting and meaningful, well, then you've become part of the solution there. That's when you've become part of the solution. It's not the things you say. It's the actions you take. Anybody.
Got that right.
Anybody that could talk to Randy for 2 years has got to have something wrong with them. You know, Gary, you're probably right. Or you just got to be a pretty intelligent person and able to see through all the bullshit out there. So, but you're right. You know, we We got problems out there. Question is, what are we going to do? We're going to do more Tea Party protests. And again, I got nothing wrong with the protest, man, but what is that protest going to accomplish? What is the goal? What is the agenda? What are the plans to enforce and to show some teeth with it? Otherwise, it's pretty much wasted because all of the protests for the last 100 years have been wasted. And even if you don't feel that they were wasted, like, well, we elected, what, I don't know, 50 Tea Party candidates? We got 50 Tea Party congressmen elected. Well, how did that work out for you? You should be pissed off. You should be grabbing your pitchforks and torches. Those Tea Party candidates that voted to re-up the Patriot Act again, they should be afraid to go to their offices in the morning because they betrayed you.
Yes, absolutely. You've been lied to. You've been betrayed. You've been stabbed in the back. It's just more of the same. You know, they're no different than any of these other criminals we've been talking about.
They should be worried that they're going to have to face you at the office that the next morning, and they weren't. And they're not going to be. Why? Because they know you're just going to protest again.
Pretty much. You know, the same old broken record. You know, okay, we'll show up and protest for an afternoon and go home. You know, it's time to start getting a little bit more out of the box with the protest and start showing resolve. You know, they've got to understand we're not going to back down until we can, you know, present something that's going to portray the fact that we're not going to take it anymore, that we're mad as hell. They're going to keep doing the same stuff. They have no incentive to change. That they have no reason to fear us. Because, oh, well, they'll go home. Just wait it out. It'll be all right. They'll go home.
You know, so what are you going to do? You going to let them get away with that? Are you going to endure that one more day? If you're not, you go to youhavetreadonme.com. And there's a link there that says the petition. And you go to the link and you get a copy of that petition. And if you can't get it there, you go to outpostoffreedom.com. Here, I'll even go in here and I'll do one better. I'm going to drop you the link to the downloadable petition because I don't think we've uploaded it yet. We moved servers, and when we moved the server, that didn't get moved. So
it should be on there. It should be on there. If it's not, definitely let us know. Drop Randy or I an email. I can be reached at david@youhavetreadonme.com. And you know, if you're having trouble downloading it off there, definitely let us know. I believe I've got that corrected. It for a little while it wasn't up there, but I was pretty diligent to make sure that got rectified. So I am pretty sure at this point that the petition can be downloaded.
That link that I just dropped in the chat room for Outpost of Freedom, it's www.outpost-of-freedom.com/youhavetreadonme/index. That will take you to the page where the You Have Tread on Me petition is at. It's sitting there. It's got a 5-page PDF, and it's got a 2-page printable PDF. Ease of printing there. You take that. You send a copy to your congressman, and you send a copy to your two senators, and you send it to them. Certified mail, return receipt required. Or you go hand deliver it to them, and you let them know you are not pleased. You fax it into them, and you jam up their resources. But it has to be a physical copy. Let's start flooding them with this. This is our olive branch petition. If you're done, you send that in. And when these people start getting tens of thousands of these piling up on their desk and in their office, and not something they can just hit delete and get rid of, and not just a sheet of paper with a bunch of sheets underneath it with 10,000 signatures, but 10,000 individual 2-page petitions. Make them eat up their time, their resources, even just collecting these things off the fax machine and having to sign for them. I would prefer that you go down there and you drop it off to them in person if you're capable of, if you're able to do that. And you let them know while you're there that you expect that damn thing to be read. And you'll be more than, and you would, in fact, you demand that they sit down and read it with you. They're probably not going to. But you demand, you start making demands upon them. You start telling them how it's going to be. you let them know that you will no longer tolerate or endure their tyranny, their chains, or their shackles around you. You let them know that no longer will you endure them violating the very oath in which they took and which they swore. And if need be, you will make it your life mission to get them removed from that office. And if they won't leave peacefully, and they won't restore what was ours, what is rightfully ours peacefully, well, then there's plan B, and plan C, and plan D, and E, and F, and as far as we need to go. But the goal of this restoration is to make it as peaceful as they will allow it to be. So if they just want to hand it over with handshakes and hugs, I'm game. I'm game. I don't want to see any violence. I'm game for that.
I think we all
you
are.
You restore that constitution, you get the hell out of office, and I never want to see you even think about running again.
But we have to be prepared for the reality that it's not going to play out that way. We hope it will.
But if not, well, unlike everybody else, we've got a plan for that as well. Nobody else out there has a plan. They've got an objective, restore the Constitution. Well, what exactly does that mean? Read the petition. It'll tell you exactly what restore the Constitution means. You will not go away from there asking how. It will tell you how. We not only tell them what they're going to change, but how they're going to change it. And everything is footnoted and referenced and is constitutional. See, we actually show you how our things are constitutional here at U of Tread on Me, whereas everybody else just throws stuff out there and they tell you it's constitutional. And yet when I read it, like the Guardians of the Republic stuff that came out with, I find out it contains other things like four unelected lifelong leaders of this new republic? What was that? I thought we were a republic, not four lifelong unelected leaders of the republic. That's Plato's republic. Mm-hmm. Plato talked about those unelected lifelong leaders called the guardians. And that was Plato's word, the guardians. So, if you haven't read that U of Tread on Me petition yet, read it. And then when you wonder what step two is, you go read the plan. You go read the plan for the restoration of constitutional government. And then you ask questions. Lots and lots of questions until every question you have has been answered. And until you can honestly say, you have proven to me that this is constitutional and this actually has a goal and it has measurable, benchmarkable objectives that can be defined and can be measured. And you can say these have now been achieved. It's a real plan. And hold my feet to the fire, people. This thing is going to be ready in a couple days. I'll get the announcement out for the CD or the DVD, whichever one is going to be. It's not going to be a video DVD. Nobody wants to see my mug on camera, so I'm telling you, you don't want to see it. Ask Gary. But I'll get it out to you. I'll have this thing compiled and put together in a couple days, and I would like people to start looking at it, telling you what they think about it. It's going to be presenting the committees of safety and the militia in the rightful role. Well, pretty much just the Committee of Safety. I mean, we're going to talk about the subordination of the militia because that's the Committee of Safety, but it's going to be about the Committee of Safety. You know, and somebody had mentioned in the chat room on the last show, or maybe it was a show before, but we've kind of been going around the militia ass backwards. You know, you can't have militia without a civil subordination. You got to have the civil authority before you can have militia. One leads to the next. You know, this Committee of Safety cannot stand on its own. And the militia can never stand on its own either. So, you know, if you want one, you got to have them both. It's not a two, you know, it's not an either or. It's a both of them. They're joined at the hip. They're Siamese twins. Each has their role to play. One is civil, one is military. That's it. Where are we at? We got, wow, 14 minutes left, 16 minutes left. Where's the time gone?
Away.
Where has the time gone? All right, people, I'm going to start closing this out. I'm going to start, you know, I've preached enough. You guys know what I got. You know, you guys know what you got to do. If you haven't read the stuff yet, read the things that we post about the committees of safety, about the militia, about the plan. And if you find anything that's inaccurate or false, you let us know. Present your documentation, your proof, and we'll be more than happy to change anything that we've said that is inaccurate. Thank you even for letting us know.
Absolutely. And also, share it with as many people as possible. You got to talk to your fellow townmates, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends. You got to, share this everywhere. Each and every one of you can, take this CD, take the flyers and actually, hit the streets and reach people that aren't anywhere on the internet. It starts locally. It starts with you. We need all of you.
It does. There was a, American Patriot 2010 is in the chat when he was saying, he thought he got yelled at for wanting to start the revolution. Again, the revolution still happened already. They revolted against we the people, those politicians and those bureaucrats. They revolted against we the people.
Yeah,
the revolution has already happened.
And that happened before any of us were born that are alive right now. We've been dealing with this for a very long time.
And I do, so to answer your question, I get the anger. The plan is a revolution, and, but there's two ways to go about it. When the people rise up and they have a plan with a goal and an agenda and the infrastructure to carry it out, that's called the revolution. When the people rise up en masse without a plan, without the infrastructure, without a set governmental system on how it's going to be and the infrastructure to maintain and get us there, that's called a rebellion. It's called mob rule. Those things never work. So, depending on what your voice is, I preach action on a daily basis. Few brave souls is all it's going to take to get this thing up and running. Whether you're in the militia, the Committee of Safety, or a security team, few brave souls is all it's going to take to really get this thing up and running. What role you choose to take is up to you. Read the plan. Find out where you fit in. Me, for instance? My personality, my mentality is to rip off their heads and shit down their neck personally. I grew up very violent in very violent neighborhoods and towns and cities. But unfortunately, my body's kind of broken now. My knees are shot. My ankles are shot. I got a bad shoulder. I got a bad right shoulder and a bad left elbow. I'm not running 20 miles. I'm not humping a pack, 100-pound pack 20 miles anymore and then engaging in an op. So my role is going to be in Committee of Safety and presenting knowledge and information. Like, this is what I would do if I was, this is what I would be doing. What role you take is up to you. And nobody can tell you that. And you're going to have to decide for it. And that's your decision to make, what role you take. As far as getting it started, man, hey, I'm all for getting it started. Have you sent in your three petitions to your congressmen and your two senators first? You kind of got to let them know you're at your last stand now. This is it. Just like, we did with the Declaration of Independence and the 90 declarations before that one. We compiled those 90 and we drafted, Jefferson put together, a pretty damn good Declaration of Independence. The You Have Treated Me petition is very much so that Declaration of Independence. Again, it's reaffirming our independence. It's restating it and it's letting them know. You will do this or you are no longer seen as the lawful government. And hence the committees of safety. See how it all flows into one another? There you go. And then once we get committees of safety formed, we can start taking back our towns. We can then start convening and forming county committees, the state committees, and then eventually we can actually get a lawful Continental Congress. And I appreciate the efforts of the groups that went out there and tried to do the other Continental Congresses, but unfortunately they weren't lawful. There was nothing, they were not convened lawfully, they were not convened according to how they were before. You can't, but again, you know, that's the shows we did before. Every show that we've done before about committees of safety, if you listen to those, you should understand that by now. Because the Continental Congress was nothing but the committees of safety. If you don't have the local committees of safety, how can you have a damn Continental Congress? But we'll get there. You know, there's another book. Gary recommended it to me. I haven't gotten it yet. Molon Lob. Molon LeVay, actually, is how it's pronounced. Molon LeVay. LeVay, depending on which version of Latin you speak, the Old Latin or New Latin. But, you know, that's a good book as well. So, you know, Resistance to Tyranny, Molon LeVay. There are good books out there. Start reading. Start with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and actually understand them. You know, if you have to, man, the Constitution is only 4,000 words. That's it, 4,000 words. Oh, I'm sorry, the Constitution. Did I just say the Declaration of the Constitution? Anyways, you know, find out about them. Start reading them. Understand them. And if you don't understand them, and engage in the conversations in the chat room and other places and say, hey, I don't understand this. And go to people that you trust to be able to give you the truth about these answers, not somebody who says they've read the Constitution, and all of a sudden, you know, you're finding out that the things that they're talking about aren't quite true, or it's not exactly how that happened. Go to those that you know will not give you false information.
And read it for yourself.
And then take what they told you, and then go back and read it and analyze it and say, is that fitting? You know, but the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, Federalist Papers, these were not hard and difficult reads. They were written for the common everyday man. Go back and read them. Start thinking, and by all means, keep your powder dry. You know, make sure that you are ready to go on a moment's notice, because you never know when you could be ready to go. Know that your community is secure because you have helped secure your community. Know that if they come for your guns, your community will not put up with that, because you've put in the work required to make sure that your community will not put up with that. And make sure that your community will not leave you hanging and will not leave each other hanging at the first sign of trouble. Those are not patriots. Those are not free men. Those are the descendants of fearful men. Do not be like them. Stand for one another. Stand for what is right. Because if you don't, one day you'll find yourself standing very much alone, because they came for everybody else already. With that being said, upcoming shows. This coming Sunday, we've got Amelia Foxwell and White Owl. They're going to be coming on. They're going to be talking to us about CECOM. They're going to be talking to us about the militia down in Florida. They're going to be talking to us about this MTV video documentary that they just finished completing and filming. It wasn't actually done by MTV. It was commissioned by MTV. But it was an independent documentarist that did it, and apparently, according to everybody that was involved, July 4 Patriot, Amelia, a lot of other people that are involved, they're feeling comfortable with it. The end result, well, we'll see what the end result is, but they're feeling comfortable with it, so maybe, who knows, maybe it's time for us to start getting some decent publicity here, put some decent PR. So we've got them coming on Saturday. They're actually very excited about coming on, so, you know, we'll be good to go there. That Militia Monday. Actually, I don't even know if it's going to be a Militia Monday. I know that it's going to be a Monday. We're going to be talking about our cops constitutional. We're going to get into a whole long talk. Gary contends that. Gary Hunt contends that these police that we see today, this is the standing army that our founding fathers warned us of. He wrote an incredible paper on that. Go and read it. Our Cops Constitutional. You can find that at www.outpost-of-freedom.com. Go to the blog. He's got a big link there down towards, I don't know, the middle of the page when you first land there. It says blog. Go there, read that. We're also going to be talking about John Bad Elk. John Bad Elk, for those of you who don't know, John Bad Elk killed a cop. Cop came to arrest John Bad Elk. John Bad Elk said, "I'm not going with you." Cop went to draw down. John Bad Elk shot him. Cop died. Supreme Court said John Bad Elk was in the right. The following Sunday, we're going to have another Tar and Feather with Gary Hunt, and then that Militia Monday. You know what? To be honest with you, I forgot. I've already got most of the shows for next month already booked up as well. If you have anybody that you would like to hear on the show, a militia in your area, let me know who they are. I don't know them all. I'm trying to get to know as many as I can. I'm trying to find the good ones. The ones that I do bring on are the ones that I've talked with that understand what militia really is. It's not a bunch of people that think, "I'm going to grab my gun, I'm militia, and we're done. We're going to go fight. I don't know what the hell this civil subordination crap is, but we're going to go fight." And I don't bring on those guys. I don't bring on guys that talk, you know, spout conspiracy theory and revelations. I talk about guys who talk about the Constitution and who understand what it is that the militia of the United, you know, of these United States of America are all about. So if you know somebody, please let me know about them. If you got somebody that you would like to hear about, a militia in your area, let me know. Get me in touch with them if you can. A warm contact is always a better contact. If you got somebody else that you think would have be an incredible, you know, that has something to say that's viable, that's valuable for this show, you let me know. If you've got something to say, you let me know. Most of these shows are because of our other guests, or because of our listeners. Oh, Gary didn't write it. Never mind. Gary's posting it, though. But we're going to be discussing it. The Archives Constitutional part. You know, but the Militia Medic part. The Tar and Feather. The Gorillas in the Mist. The Resistance to Tyranny. You know, we got a new one. You know, it's going to be talking about basic training, an S1. You know, starting our S3 and all this other stuff. That's because of a listener as well. All of these shows are because of the listener. You guys out there that have information that you're willing to share. Because it's important and it's needed. Fox has got a whole new channel on this station now. He's doing his own show on Saturday. We had a long talk about that, a couple days worth of talk. So, you know, but I'm good with him, and I feel pretty comfortable with him. You know, I hope that you're going to hold him to the same standards that I'm, you know, that you hold me to and that I hold myself to. And I'm going to hold him there, and I hope he holds himself there. You know, but again, we got to hold each other accountable. Call each other on our bullshit when we put it out there and, you know, present and, you know, go out there and vehemently support and promote the good ideas. But it starts with us presenting a unified front, becoming that unified voice. We have to begin promoting this stuff daily with the same voice, the same material, the same ideas, the same objective. And when we can start doing that together, that's when it'll start to really take shape, when it'll start to grow. And when you won't feel alone and isolated anymore because you're the only person in your militia, or you're the only person that's even willing to start a committee of safety, you'll now have these militia and these committees of safety, and then you can start engaging in action. So again, you know, it all starts with you guys. You know, if I'm only talking to five people, that's all that's ever going to hear me is five people. So you get people, you drag them in here kicking and screaming if need be. You look at the people on your list and say, who's not an idiot? Who is beyond the left-right crap? Who's beyond the protests and everything else? Or who's starting to think about things beyond those and you promote this to them, and you give them the, these other ideas, and you show the archives, post the archives wherever. Actually, man, I just got recent news, man. There's a whole bunch of groups now that are starting to post the show information, the banners. Man, this is your stuff. Take it. Do what you want with it. Hand it out. Give it away. Promote it on your Facebook, wherever. But the more people that come and they hear these things, they hear the ideas that Gary's presenting, that I'm presenting, that OHMM is presenting, all these other people, when they start to hear these ideas, we'll begin to get on the same page. It's going to start with you guys, though. I can't make everybody come. I'm just kind of here being the mouthpiece for it all. So make them come. You find out who you can bring. We're growing every day. More and more people are listening. More and more people are actually, you know, eventually we'll get to the point where there's a lot of people doing. There's already a small group of people doing. One of these days we'll get to a whole bunch of people doing. And then we'll get some freedom in this country. Whether it's given, whether it's, you know, whether our rights are once again recognized and respected, or we have to actually enforce our freedom. It doesn't matter to me. I'm good either way. I'm good with them recognizing my freedom, and I'm good with enforcing my damn freedom. But either way it goes, I will have my freedom. But unfortunately, in order for me to have my freedom, I need all of you as well. And we need everybody else out there. We need a lot of other people out there in the end. But it can start with us few. All things start with a small group of people who are motivated, who are determined, and who are focused upon a single goal. So with that being said, if you're not on the email list yet and you want to be informed about all the upcoming shows, email me at Randy Mac, put subscribe me in the email list, or in the subject note, and I'll add you to the email list. Join the Committee of Safety mail list as well. We're starting to get that going. We need people involved in it, you know. So if you've got a Committee of Safety opinion, or you're thinking about it and you want help with it, you're not sure how to get it going, you contact us. We got nothing. We have time to talk to you. I don't think anybody has ever contacted me and said, Randy, I'd like to talk to you that I haven't talked with. And I haven't given them a whole bunch of time and answered as anything as I can. In fact, you know, most of the people that I know now that I think are great friends, they came to me. They said, Randy, you know what? I'm liking what you're saying, but I've got a whole ton of questions. OHMM were that way. You know, before they ever started promoting any of the ideas, they studied them. They analyzed them for months. They came at me with question after question after question after question. So if you got some questions or if you want help, let me know. I will do everything I can. I will get you in touch. I'll get you in touch with somebody else who's better at that area than I am. And they'll help you. Now, you're not alone out here. You might be alone in your town, but you're not alone out here. And, you know, we together, we can get these all over in every town, in every county, in every state. And then we'll be free again. So with all that being said, Dave, anything else you want to throw in there?
Yeah, just real quick, like, you know, we are making some progress, and we do see that. We're making, you know, progress, getting some committees set up. We're definitely on the right track with a lot of great militia folks out there. So it's reason to be quite hopeful, but we need to keep at that and accelerate this. We need to get as many people involved as possible. It's all of us together. It's not any one individual. And this is a group effort, so do it to it.
So that being said, everybody, look, I really appreciate every single listener out there. Whether you come in the chat room and listen or you're just on the archives, I appreciate every time that you come on and you listen. And I hope that you are finding this show beneficial. I hope you're finding it completely and utterly different than anything else out there. I hope that you're finding it the one show that is truly giving you ideas and options and something to do out there that actually has a viable plan and backing it up. And if all these things are true, then I hope that you're out there supporting this and presenting these ideas as well and doing your part and playing your role. Be safe. Be free, everyone. See you next week.